Well, you know, it's Father's Day, so I thought, well, let's just play with that a little bit. So how is everybody? You look wonderful. Take a look around. Look at yourselves. This is love in action. It's really good to see so many of my friends. It's really great. Thank you so much for being here. It's great to be back. And I just have to give a shout out really quickly to my beautiful grandson who's sitting right there. He's just, that's my baby. So good, so good. So those of you who have were here when I was here, you know sometimes I like to start with a joke. Today is no different because I'm back here. That's kind of, you know, it's like, well, why don't I just do that? So, and it's Father's Day. So I think I found something somewhat appropriate. Gotta be me. All right. So an Amish boy and his father were visiting a mall, like the one over there, the one downtown, right? They were amazed by almost everything they saw, but especially two shiny silver walls that could move apart and back together again. The boy asked his father, "What is this, father?" Father responded, "Son, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I don't know what it is." While the boy and his father were watching with wide-eyed, an old lady in a wheelchair rolled up to the moving walls and pressed a button. The walls opened, and the lady rolled between them into a small room. The walls closed, and the boy and his father watched small circles of lights light up, and then they watched them light up again, going in the descending order. The walls opened up again, and out steps a beautiful 24-year-old woman. The father says to his son, "Go get your mother." Transformation. Now, the real truth is, you actually do the same thing. You come into these doors and you expect a transformation of some sort, yes?
Yes.
Your mind to be transformed. The Bible says, "Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." So you come into places like this to be inspired, to learn something, to be reminded of who and what you are, yes?
Yes.
Oh, for those of you who are new, I love for people to talk to me, so yes?
Yes.
And in that, what you're activating, hopefully, is this masculine energy. So today is Father's Day, and we think of that as the masculine energy, not just in the form of a man as far as the, you know, male-female, but the actual harnessing and understanding of the masculine energy that resides within all of us. And so we come into places like this to be for that to be tapped into so that we can take action upon our lives, yes? Now, at the same time, there's something that you use. There's a few things that you use. You use some tools. So I brought two tools today. What is this one?
A wrench.
And the nice thing about a wrench is that it does two things. It loosens. Oh, that's tightening, right? It tightens. It loosens. So let's talk about loosening first. What does this have to do with you? Everything. Everything. You have a mind, and your mind you use, maybe. We have a tendency to get confused and believe that we are our mind. We have a tendency to get confused from time to time and think that the thoughts that we use are actually us, but they're not. You are not your mind. Your mind is a tool. And this beautiful tool needs to be loosened and tightened in the right ways. And we must learn then to use the tool and not have the tool use us. So many times when we're looking at the news, when we're going through life, our mind is actually using us. And what has happened is since birth, we have been raised in certain ways. We have different patterns. Some of that is good for us. Some of that's not so good for us. But for most of us, we haven't spent enough time looking at what we have learned to figure out, is this really good for me, or is it time to let something go? Ernest Holmes says this about loosening. It's my favorite page in this book, Living the Science of Mind. It's just my favorite page. It is the one that got me on my spiritual path solidly. He says in here, "It is certain that none of us receive as much benefit from this science as we might. We do not permit our consciousness to range in the field of greater possibilities. A certain time should be taken each day for the enlargement of consciousness. He says we must learn to loose our consciousness. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing. The kingdom of harmony is already an ever-present reality, but as far as we're concerned, it waits to be perceived, and only as much good can come to us as we mentally receive. We must loose the consciousness. He says we must increase our receptivity, and this is my favorite part, continuously extend and expand our consciousness. He says in here, say 100 times a day, and I said this literally 100 times or more a day and watched transformation start to begin. So I encourage you, page 339, take that this week, take a look at it. It says, good and more good is mine, and ever increasing good is mine. There is no limit to the good which is mine. Everywhere I go, I see it, I feel it, I experience it. It crowds itself up against me, flows through me, and multiplies itself all around me. And then I ended with, because good and more good is mine. Say, good and more good is mine. We must learn to loose the consciousness. And that means that every day we are to anticipate an expansion in our own consciousness. Now, there's things you have to do that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But I want you to just get this one piece. Every day you must loose the consciousness, you must expand the consciousness, because there is nothing that is too good to be true for you. Every time you have a thought that says, I can't, I won't, it's not happening for me, or the past, or anything like that, you constrict the consciousness. And yet it is very clear that since everything is yours, everything you could possibly want is yours, it is yours for the taking. The only way for you to receive it then is for you to expand your consciousness to understand that it really is real here for you. And as long as it's for good for you and everybody else, it is yours in a moment. But it is about using your mind properly and not allow the mind to use you. I have this wrench here, and I would hope and pray that something like this is not using you. So why allow your mind to use you? We learn how to use the wrench. We must learn how to use our minds. Yes? Say, I'm learning how to use my mind. I'm learning how to use my mind. Effectively. I use this tool for divine energy. For support. Inspiration.
Inspiration.
Now say, because I'm all that. You were all that. There was a young boy whose bike was stolen on a particular day, and he reported it, and this particular policeman saw the young boy and understood the dilemma and said to him, you know, you must learn to fight. And so he took the young boy under his wing, because this policeman happened to be into boxing. And this young man took on boxing. And in that, his world began to change. Because in that, that meant that he took on something brand new, and his mind began to extend and expand, right? His consciousness began to expand. But then there was something else the young boy then had to do. He used the same tool to tighten up. And what he ended up tightening up was his vision. And his vision said, I am the greatest. How many of you know who I'm talking about? Yes?
Yes.
First came the expansion of consciousness, putting him into another world to move him out of the world he was in of fear and move him into power, learning to protect himself. But then he had to expand even more and stand up for himself. So now he has a vision that he is the greatest. He also then understands that there is nothing and no one who will boss him around. He stands up for the religion of his choice and moves through that. And then he stands up and says, no, I will not go to war and kill those who have not harmed me. That takes vision, courage, power. That same vision, courage, and power is in you. So maybe you don't have to go to Vietnam to fight. Maybe you've got some other kind of things to fight. But instead of fight, I want you to think about something. It's not necessary that you do this kind of fighting, but it is necessary that you tighten up your vision and you hold that, and that is the fighting that you do. Because everything is in consciousness. It is not about the physical fighting. It is more about your using your mind in a particular way. Yes?
Yes.
I am divine energy. Say, I am divine energy.
I am divine energy.
And I know how to fight.
And I know how to fight.
Through consciousness.
Through consciousness.
And actually, it's really not a fight. It is a receiving of what is good. Yes?
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree. I hope I agree. Okay. So the second tool that we get to use, and this is fun to me. This is the power drill. The reason we choose this as the second tool that we want to be sure about is because this one is very versatile. You can put different bits in it, right? Which is a matter of choice. The tool of the mind is a path to awareness. Ooh. The tool of choice is you're activating this awareness in a particular way. You have lots and lots of choice. However, you're always limited in your choices based on how much your consciousness has expanded. Let me say that again. We are limited in choice only by us not being aware of the wholeness of what everything is. Now, I'm not talking about in your mental framework. I'm talking about in your feeling nature. What I have learned, the more we do the tools of prayer and meditation and study and visioning and all of the different spiritual tools, the more that. Why do we do that? It is to expand our consciousness. And the more you expand in consciousness, it's almost like rising higher and higher and higher in the mountain. When you're on the mountaintop, you can see a whole lot of things and you can choose. But when you're on the ground level, it's hard to choose and know what else is all out there. Yes?
Yes.
So we use the tools, these spiritual tools of prayer and meditation and all of that, to activate a larger expansion in consciousness. All right, we want to expand so much till that which is not in our view in this moment comes into view. So we come to places like this to learn and to be encouraged to use our spiritual practices. But I want to be very, very clear. The basic one is your mind. You're learning to use it effectively to expand consciousness and to tighten up the vision that God has on your life. But the only thing is that unless you understand how to access the vision for your life and to surrender to the greatness that is actually within you, you will limit your choices. When you limit your choices, you are living a smaller life. And God has ordained it that you are not here to live a small life. You are here to live a great life. And what's amazing to me is no matter how big your life gets, there's more. There's more. Because it's not just about you. That divine energy is wanting to express more and more and more and more. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your sexual orientation. It doesn't matter what color you are. None of that matters. God don't see none of that. God is much bigger than any of that. And yet it is seeking expression through you. Through you in a most unique way. There is nobody else on the planet who can show up on this planet to do the work that you are to do. You are unique in and of yourself. And there's this massive power that wants to express through you. But you must understand that and then surrender to that. Now let's talk about that for just a moment. Actually, before we talk about that, because there's one other piece. So I want you to get this. One, we're using our mind. Yes?
Yes.
We must loosen or tighten it. Yes?
Yes.
And then we must use the tool of choice to make sure that we are choosing things that are good and more good for us and everybody else. Yes?
Yes.
Very important. Now, we step into that through a tool that I know you've heard over and over and over again. But before I tell you what that tool is, I want to share a story. with you. And I want to read parts of this story because part of it is not from me, it is from the person themselves. So, as Linda said, we began our center in a casino. It was fabulous. It was colorful, dynamic, and we just had a ball. We did that for a few months or so, and then we moved to an addiction treatment campus. And so it was a campus, and we held services there, we ran our classes there. And unbeknownst to me, I figured some of the people, the patients there, would be trickling in, but I don't know who's who. It doesn't matter to us, so we don't care. And then I get this email from an individual. And I'm not going to read you the whole thing because it's very, very long and extremely graphic. But just to give you a taste, she says, I was addicted to drugs from the age of 13 to 41. 28 years of my life was spent in shackles of the worst kind, the ones you can't see from the outside. At the age of 8, I tried to kill myself by swallowing a bottle of pills. And then she goes on, layer after layer, about a horrific life. Horrific. I was like almost in tears, just going, who is this person? Because when the person wrote to me, I didn't know who it was in our community. I had no idea. But basically, after being brutally assaulted, she was left with a broken smile and a mangled body. She had been denied a particular surgery up until that time when she walked into our spiritual center. She came to our center and heard a particular sermon. And so she writes, when I heard your message about gratitude and forgiveness, I went home that day with a great sense of hope and feeling like I had found my answer. All I needed to do was switch my worry and fear and doubt to gratitude. I woke up the next morning and meditated, focusing all of my thoughts on gratitude for everything I was looking for in the future. I also focused on forgiveness to everyone who had ever hurt me, including myself. I did this again the second day, and on the third day, I got the call. Not only was I finally approved for a major $20,000 dental treatment plan, but that it was going to take place on November 19th, and also before the dentist even gets paid, because she had been denied over and over because she had no money up front to help this part of her body get healed. I am calling this my first miracle, and I must give you the credit because it was the message you gave on gratitude and forgiveness that taught me how to make the shift from negative to positive, from worry to gratitude. Wow. Now her story continues on. After a few weeks later, and I have permission to tell this story, and she asked that I tell this story to get people to understand the importance of the spiritual principles. And for her, it was the principle of gratitude and forgiveness, because she had to forgive the person who assaulted her and mangled her body. So after that particular surgery, she had another one that got approved for complete breast reconstruction up here, because all of this was interesting, okay? And that was approved. She has had another surgery, but this woman has gone on to now have her own place to live in. She got one Lexus, and it got taken away, and immediately somebody reminded her, don't allow your mind to go in the place of where it used to be. And she immediately corrected. The next thing you know, she's got the new Lexus. Of course, it's better than the last one. You know, and she's moved on in her life. 2 weeks ago, I had someone come in. She's new, brand new. And I said, and we always ask people, so how did you find the center? And she said, oh, so-and-so. And I said, oh, and she said, I used to work with so-and-so, and I remember who she was before, meaning in the drug addictions and the whole bit. She says, I was there, I remember, and I want to know what happened. She's completely a different person. I want that, so I'm here. These teachings are real. This woman took it to heart and every day practiced her gratitude and her forgiveness, because she had to forgive the person who assaulted her and then herself for putting herself in that position. There was a lot of work, but she did it day in and day out. She learned to control what's going on up in here and to use it for good. She learned to shift her perspective about life is hard, life is horrible, life is everything else that was going on before, And she learned to expand her consciousness through studying. She's been through some of the classes. And through gratitude. Gratitude. She now makes, obviously, completely different choices. Where are you limited in your life? Do you literally wake up every day and do your gratitude work? And then, because of her story and this latest miracle, we've got many miracles on this. She's just an amazing being to me. She inspires me. She made me take a look at, because of course I do gratitude work every morning. I do lots of spiritual work every morning. But what she made me do was up level. So you practitioners and ministers that are in this room, your challenge this week is to up level your spiritual practices, up level your gratitude practice, up level the prayer and the meditation. Because there's more. There is more. However good your life is, trust me, there is so much more. But you're only halfway up the mountain. There's the bigger mountain. And the more up, the more you climb up this mountain of expanded consciousness, the more you will see that is hidden from your conscious mind right here and right now. So I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to decide that from this day forward, you will wake up and notice where your mind goes. And throughout the day, you will take stock and go, what was I thinking? Where was I? And decide, was it good for you? And is it good for everybody else? Or did you just slip back into old patterns and old behaviors? And if so, don't hurt yourself, but check yourself. Yeah? But check yourself. And move from there. All of us can stand up level wherever we are on the spiritual path because God has a mighty, mighty, mighty work for us to do. It's waiting on you. Will you answer the call? Will you answer the call?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you. Thank you. So let us pray. Let's move into that magnificent space.